Hello, Private. How are you? We're about to start our 18th dialogue class, which means that you have reached the middle of our second wave. Congratulations, Private. Good job. I'm afraid that today we have some bad news, though. But don't worry, because we do have some good news as well. Are you curious? Well, let's listen to our dialogue.
Hello?
Good evening, Katie. This is William from accounting. How are you?
Oh, hi, William. I'm fine, thanks. How can I help you?
Sorry to bother you at this time, but you wanted me to let you know as soon as I heard the information about next year's budget allocation. Well, it's here.
That's great. I was hoping the report would be released soon. What do you have?
I have good news and bad news.
Let's start with the bad news, then. Is it about the infrastructure proposal?
I'm afraid so. The number you asked for is not possible at the moment. It's a bit over budget, and the board of directors hasn't cleared the expense.
That's a shame. Can I submit another proposal afterwards? Maybe we can manage to trim a few costs and still make some of the changes I had planned.
Sure, that would be fine. It's not going to be approved in time for next year, though. Sorry about that.
Not a problem. It was a very substantial amount. I was half expecting it to be rejected on the first try. Now, cheer me up with some good news.
Well, the on-site personnel training program you also proposed is good to go.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that. We really needed this program to work.
Yes. Not only is it approved, the board decided to put it on high priority and allocated extra funds to make sure our staff is well trained.
Well, that's fantastic news. Thank you so much for letting me know.
Not a problem. If you have any questions, feel free to get in touch.
Great. I'll talk to you tomorrow then. Good night.
Good night.
Hello?
Good evening, Katie. This is William from accounting. How are you?
Oh, hi, William. I'm fine, thanks. How can I help you?
Sorry to bother you at this time, but you wanted me to let you know as soon as I heard the information about next year's budget allocation. Well, it's here.
That's great. I was hoping the report would be released soon. What do you have?
I have good news and bad news.
Let's start with the bad news, then. Is it about the infrastructure proposal?
I'm afraid so. The number you asked for is not possible at the moment. It's a bit over budget, and the board of directors hasn't cleared the expense.
That's a shame. Can I submit another proposal afterwards? Maybe we can manage to trim a few costs and still make some of the changes I had planned.
Sure, that would be fine. It's not going to be approved in time for next year, though. Sorry about that.
Not a problem. It was a very substantial amount. I was half expecting it to be rejected on the first try. Now, cheer me up with some good news.
Well, the on-site personnel training program you also proposed is good to go.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that. We really needed this program to work.
Yes. Not only is it approved, the board decided to put it on high priority and allocated extra funds to make sure our staff is well trained.
Well, that's fantastic news. Thank you so much for letting me know.
Not a problem. If you have any questions, feel free to get in touch.
Great. I'll talk to you tomorrow then. Good night.
Good night.
Well, now that you're aware of both good news and bad news, let's take a closer look at the sentences from our dialogue, shall we? As usual, I'm going to read them a little slowly at first so that you can repeat after me, and then I'm going to read them again at a normal pace and then explain a little about some phrases, some expressions, and also give you some pronunciation tips. Let's get started. We start there with, "Hello. Good evening, Katie. This is William from accounting. How are you?" Good evening, Katie. This is William from accounting. How are you? Notice that I pronounced William's name, really pronouncing the letter M in the end. So this is William, 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 right? This is William from accounting. This is William from accounting. This is William from accounting, right? So William, don't forget to really pronounce the letter M. Okay, moving forward. "Oh, hi, William. I'm fine, thanks. How can I help you?" "Oh, hi, William. I'm fine, thanks. How can I help you?" Sorry to bother you at this time, but you wanted me to let you know as soon as I heard the information about next year's budget allocation. Well, it's here. Sorry to bother you at this time, but you wanted me to let you know as soon as I heard the information about next year's budget allocation. Well, it's here. no problems here, I believe, so let's move on to our next page. That's great. I was hoping the report would be released soon. What do you have? That's great. I was hoping the report would be released soon. What do you have? I have good news and bad news. Let's take the chance here to once again remember the pronunciation of the word new, right? So it's a long new sound. So new. I have good news and bad news. Good news and bad news. I have good news and bad news. Okay, moving forward. Let's start with the bad news then. Is it about the infrastructure proposal? Let's start with the bad news then. Is it about infrastructure proposal? I'm afraid so. The number you asked for is not possible at the moment. It's a bit over budget and the board of directors hasn't cleared the expense. I'm afraid so. The number you asked for is not possible at the moment. It's a bit over budget and the board of directors hasn't cleared the expense. Let's take the chance here to remember that this expression, I'm afraid so, doesn't mean that you fear something, that you're scared of something. It's actually a way to answer affirmatively to something, so to give an affirmative answer, although you regret that. So you're not happy about that, but you have to say yes. You have to give an affirmative answer. So she says, is it about the infrastructure proposal? And he says, yes, it is, but I don't like this. Okay, so I'm afraid so. And it's very common to see people abbreviating this expression and saying just afraid so. Okay, so in an everyday conversation, she could have asked, is it about infrastructure proposal? And he could have answered, afraid so. Let me give you one more example here so that's a little clearer. I could say, are you talking about my application? Are you talking about my application? And the person could say, afraid so, right? So that's a very informal, a very colloquial way of saying, I'm afraid so, but it's very common. So are you talking about my application? Afraid so. Is it about an infrastructure proposal? Afraid so. Okay, so afraid so is basically an abbreviation of I'm afraid so. All right, I also want you to pay attention here to the pronunciation once again of the word of in the expression board of directors. When we say it fast, we're going to pronounce the of as only a. So borda, borda directors. Right? So say it in a fast speech, I'd say board of directors, board of directors, board of directors. And the board of directors hasn't cleared the expense. And the board of directors hasn't cleared the expense. Right? Also, I want to talk to you a little bit about the verb clear. Clear as a verb. Okay? Here in our case here, we have a different use of the verb clear than we are normally used to. We normally relate the verb clear to a sense of remove, right? It could be, for instance, to remove the clouds from the sky. So if I say the wind cleared the sky, the wind removed the clouds from the sky, right? I could also say that clear is to remove impurities. So if I said, we need a filter to clear the water, what I'm saying is we need a filter to remove the impurities of the water, right? I could also say clear, meaning to remove objects. So if I say, she really has to clear her desk, she really has to remove all the objects from her desk, to remove all the trash, to clear her desk, right? I can also use clear in the sense of removing obstructions, as in to make a path. So if I say, he cleared a path through the woods, he cleared the path through the woods. He made a path by removing the obstructions, removing trees, bushes, and so on. So he cleared a path. He made a path by removing those obstructions, right? I can also use clear in the sense of removing data. So if I tell someone, could you please clear this flash drive for me? Could you please clear this flash drive for me? What I'm asking this person is to remove all the data, all the files from that flash drive, right? So we have here many uses of the word clear in the sense of removing things, removing the clouds from the sky, removing impurities, removing objects, obstructions, data, and so on, right? But we can also use clear meaning different things that are not related to remove. I could use clear, for instance, as a synonym of explain. So if I say, the teacher cleared up the question, the teacher cleared up the question, a phrasal verb, clear up, the teacher explained the question, right? The teacher cleared up, the teacher explained the question. I can also use clear in the sense of to free someone from charges or accusations. So if I say, the suspect was cleared of all charges, the suspect was cleared of all charges, the suspect was freed from the charges, from the accusations that were made, right? So he's no longer a suspect. He's free to go. He doesn't have any accusations against him anymore, right? We can also use the verb clear to express that you were paying a debt. So if I say, I cleared all my debts, you're saying that you paid all your debts. You don't have any debts anymore. So you paid them all. You cleared them all, all right? And finally, the use that we have in our example here, which is to authorize or approve. So if I say, the manager has cleared the project, what I'm saying is that the manager has authorized, has approved the project, right? So in our case here, we have there, the board of directors hasn't cleared the expense. So the board of directors hasn't approved, hasn't authorized this expense, right? So we have there many different uses of the verb clear, right? First of them is in this sense of removing. So removing clouds, removing impurities, removing objects, obstructions, data, and so on. So to remove things, to open some space. Then, in a different sense, we can use clear as a synonym of explain. We can also use it to indicate that a person was freed from charges or accusations. We can use it to say that you paid a debt. And last but not least, we can use it to indicate an authorization, an approval. So the board of directors hasn't cleared the expense. The board of directors hasn't approved the expense. All right. You have all of these meanings, all of these uses of the word clear. So as you can see, it's a very useful word, right? Moving forward then with our dialogue. That's a shame. Can I submit another proposal afterwards? Maybe we can manage to trim a few costs and still make some of the changes I had planned. That's a shame. Can I submit another proposal afterwards? Maybe we can manage to trim a few costs and still make some of the changes I had planned. First thing here, let's remember that submit is also one of those words that has many, many, many different uses, right? In our case here, we're using submit to indicate present something for consideration, right? So can I submit another proposal? Can I present another proposal for consideration, right? Here we have a very interesting expression, which is the expression afterwards. Afterwards means basically at a later time. So later on, in a different moment in the future. So afterwards, at a later time. Can I submit another proposal afterwards then means can I present another proposal for consideration at a later time, all right? Also, let's take the chance here to talk about the pronunciation of the word few, okay? It's similar to what we have in the word new, right? So few, 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 few. Trim a few costs, trim a few costs, trim a few costs. Maybe we can manage to trim a few costs, all right? Another interesting thing that we have here that I want you to pay attention to is the expression make some changes. So if you change something, you make changes, okay? Let me highlight that here. So make changes. So I could say, I really have to make some changes around here. I really have to make some changes around here. I really have to change a few things around here. Or I could also say, I heard they're planning on making changes at the office. I heard they're planning on making changes at the office, so I heard that they're planning to change a few things around the office. So try to memorize these two words together, right? Make changes, make changes. All right, and last but not least, let's remember the use of the past perfect. She says there, we can manage to trim a few costs and still make some of the changes I had planned. As you probably remember, the past perfect has this structure, had plus the verb in the participle, right? So plan is a regular verb, so planned. I had planned, she had planned, they had planned, and so on, right? But when do I use the past perfect? I use it to describe an action that started in the past and ended in the past before another past action, right? So if I say, she had already cleaned the house when I arrived yesterday. So she had already cleaned the house when I arrived yesterday. I arrived yesterday, so that's a past action. And she cleaned the house before that. She started to clean the house and she finished to clean the house before I arrived. So we have an action that started and finished in the past before another action in the past. All right, so I arrived yesterday, that's a past action. And she had already cleaned the house, that's a past of the past, right? It happened before my past action. Let me give you one more example. They went to the museum, but I didn't go with them because I had already visited that museum. Okay, so they went to the museum, that's a past action. Maybe it was last week, last month, last year. They went to the museum in the past, but I didn't go with them that time. Why? Because I had already visited that museum before. So I went to the museum also in the past before they went. So I could say, for example, that I went to the museum in 2010 and they went to the museum in 2015. So my action happened in the past before their action that happened also in the past, right? So in our sentence here, maybe we can manage to trim a few costs and still make some of the changes I had planned. It means that she had planned those changes before she submitted her proposal, which was denied, right? So she started to plan, she finished to plan, and then after that, she submitted a proposal, and that's all in the past. All right, so basically what we have is we have a timeline, and then we have the present. Before the present, we have the simple past, and before the simple past, we have the past perfect. All right, so that's basically it. Now that we have refreshed our memories a little, let's move on with our dialogue. Sure, that would be fine. It's not gonna be approved in time for next year, though. Sorry about that. Sure, that would be fine. It's not gonna be approved in time for next year, though. Sorry about that. Here we have one expression that we've already seen in our classes here before, which is the expression in time. But we have also seen the expression on time here. But do you know the difference between in time and on time? Well, Luis is going to explain it to you.
In time and on time are two very similar expressions that can easily be confused for one another. However, most of the similarity ends in the first letter. They're used in different contexts, and I'm going to talk a bit about what these contexts are. When you say that something happened on time, what you're saying is that the thing happened right when it was supposed to, according to schedule. So if you have a meeting at 3 p.m. and you get there at 3 p.m., that means you were there on time. You arrived at the correct time and you were not late. On the other hand, in time simply means that something happened before it was too late. You didn't necessarily do something according to schedule, but you still had time to do it. So imagine that you had a meeting at 3 p.m., but your boss told you to be there at 2 p.m. You got stuck in traffic, so you arrived at 2:30. You were not on time, but you were there in time for the meeting. I hope this tip came just in time to help you with this lesson.
All right then, now that you know the difference between in time and on time, let's take the chance here to once again recall the use of the preposition about with the word sorry. So when you are sorry because of something, you are sorry about something. So sorry about that. Or sorry about calling so late. Or sorry about your dog. And so on. All right, so if you feel sorry because of something, you feel sorry about something. All right? Not a problem. It was a very substantial amount. I was half expecting it to be rejected on the first try. Now, cheer me up with some good news. Not a problem. It was a very substantial amount. I was half expecting it to be rejected on the first try. Now cheer me up with some good news. We have a very interesting phrasal verb here, which is cheer someone up. Cheer someone up, which means basically to make someone cheerful. Make someone cheerful, make someone happy, giving this person some good news, right? So cheer me up, make me cheerful, make me happy. Maybe you're a little down because you missed a deadline or because you got some bad feedback and you want someone to help you feel cheerful, to help you smile again. All right, so cheer someone up, make someone cheerful. I could say, for instance, my kids cheer me up every day. So my kids cheer me up every day. My kids make me happy, make me cheerful, make me smile every day. I could also say, I'm just trying to cheer you up. So I'm just trying to cheer you up. I'm just trying to make you cheerful again. I'm just trying to make you happy, to make you smile, right? So cheer someone up to make someone happy, to make someone cheerful. Okay, next page. Well, the on-site personnel training program you also proposed is good to go. Well, the on-site personnel training program you also proposed is good to go. This expression here, on-site, means basically that something is going to be held in a physical place, in a physical space, and that you have to be present, right? So on-site, happening in a specific place. So happening in a specific place, which requires, let's say, physical presence. All right, so on site means that you have to be present for the training. It can't be done online. You have to really be there. All right, that's fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that. We really needed this program to work. That's fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that. We really needed this program to work. No big secrets here, so let's move on. Yes, not only is it approved, the board decided to put it on high priority and allocated extra funds to make sure our staff is well trained. Yes, not only is it approved, the board decided to put it on high priority and allocated extra funds to make sure our staff is well trained. Two important pronunciation tips I have to give you here. First of them is the pronunciation of the word priority. Okay, priority. Those two R's may be a little hard to pronounce, but remember to always roll your tongue when you pronounce the R in English. So priority, 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 high priority. To put it on high priority, the board decided to put it on high priority. Okay, priority. And let's also take a moment here to talk about the difference in terms of pronunciation between the words stuff and staff. The word stuff, as you already know, means things, things in general. And the pronunciation is stuff, right? Stuff, stuff, stuff. While staff, the word staff, has two more common meanings. The first of them is a stick to help you walk. So a stick that you use to help you walk, right? Or it can mean personnel, which is basically the people that work in a company, people that work in a team, people that work together in a corporate environment. All right, so the most common meaning that you will probably see for staff is personnel, the people that work in a company, okay? And the pronunciation of staff is staff, right? So staff, staff, staff. Stuff for things in general and staff for personnel. Stuff and staff. Stuff, staff, stuff, staff. All right, so practice a lot so you don't get confused when you hear these two words, okay? Let's move on. Well, that's fantastic news. Thank you so much for letting me know. Let's just remember here that when you thank someone for an action, this action has to have ing. It has to be in the gerund, right? So thank you for ing. Thank you so much for letting me know. Thank you for sending me that email. Thank you for calling me, and so on. So thank you for and the verb with ing, okay? Not a problem. If you have any questions, feel free to get in touch. Not a problem. If you have any questions, feel free to get in touch. No big secrets here, so let's move forward. Great, I'll talk to you tomorrow then. Good night. Great, I'll talk to you tomorrow then. Good night. Notice here that we have a very interesting sequence of many words that begin with T. Talk to you tomorrow then, right? And notice how they are all pronounced a little different. I have talk to tomorrow and then. Talk to you tomorrow 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 then. All right? And good night. That's it. This is the end of our dialogue. But before we actually finish, let's listen to it one more time.
Hello?
Good evening, Katie. This is William from accounting. How are you?
Oh, hi, William. I'm fine, thanks. How can I help you?
Sorry to bother you at this time, but you wanted me to let you know as soon as I heard the information about next year's budget allocation. Well, it's here.
That's great. I was hoping the report would be released soon. What do you have?
I have good news and bad news.
Let's start with the bad news, then. Is it about the infrastructure proposal?
I'm afraid so. The number you asked for is not possible at the moment. It's a bit over budget, and the board of directors hasn't cleared the expense.
That's a shame. Can I submit another proposal afterwards? Maybe we can manage to trim a few costs and still make some of the changes I had planned.
Sure, that would be fine. It's not going to be approved in time for next year, though. Sorry about that.
Not a problem. It was a very substantial amount. I was half expecting it to be rejected on the first try. Now, cheer me up with some good news.
Well, the on-site personnel training program you also proposed is good to go.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that. We really needed this program to work.
Yes. Not only is it approved, the board decided to put it on high priority and allocated extra funds to make sure our staff is well trained.
Well, that's fantastic news. Thank you so much for letting me know.
Not a problem. If you have any questions, feel free to get in touch.
Great. I'll talk to you tomorrow then. Good night.
Good night.
Alrighty, now that we've finished our class with good news, it's time for you to do your memorization hack practice. Listen to the dialogue one more time if you'd like to. Don't forget to practice all the pronunciation tips that I gave you today, and I'll see you in our Business in Focus class. See you, private.